Christchurch is getting a stripped-back version of its planned indoor stadium, but the budget-friendly pick could cost the city in the long run. The initial plan was for the indoor stadium to have up to 30,000 seats, but councillors voted this afternoon to reduce it to 25,000 seats to keep a lid on costs. It was estimated the original design could run $88 million plus over budget. Some Cantabrians think scaling back could be short-sighted.
Budget blowouts, I guess, aren't much of a surprise when it comes to sort of Christchurch rebuild, but I mean, if you're going to put all that money into investing in a facility, you may as well get sort of the full bang for your buck and be able to have those large-scale events which you're after. I think we've missed having those big games and also like all of the sort of big international acts that come with having just that larger stadium, and I think being able to bring those back in the city would be such a, I guess, important thing for the Christchurch area.
I feel like I can see both sides, but I think it probably would bring more tourists in, and so ultimately I think maybe it would be worth spending more money so that we could fit more people in to the stadium.
I mean, I think the stadium itself is expensive, so if there's a $130-odd million blowout, then maybe look at reducing the capacity and paying on an as-you-go basis for any matches or concerts or rugby games. You know, it's a lot of money. You know, they're suggesting the All Blacks might charge $1.2 million to play a game here with the reduced seating. So that's fine, you know, pay $1.2 million for every time they play rather than $131 million just to get 5,000 extra people in.
I think that's pretty crap, you know. I think we should add more so, like, it can give, like, the community something to watch, and, like, everybody supports the All Blacks, so I think we're good as well.
Well, Christchurch City Councillor Jani Johansson joins me there now. Kia ora, Jani. So a mixed bag of reaction from people on the streets of Christchurch. I mean, what did you vote for, the reduced stadium?
No, I actually voted against the reduced stadium because in my view, there's huge risk attached to this project. And even with the reduced scope, I still fundamentally feel that the location was wrong. In my view, given that the money, the budget blowout for what was proposed is significant, you know, $130 million, the most sensible thing to do would be go back to the drawing board, build it back at Lancaster Park, realise the value of the land, develop it into housing, which would equally create a central city vibrancy. We want people living in the central city. And then we could have afforded to build a stadium that had a decent capacity.
So what, the council's pushing ahead with a white elephant?
Well, I think you need to take a step back and look at the underlying problem post-earthquake with Christchurch and a number of anchor projects. The huge expense has been incurred when the government announced that it would put public facilities onto private land. So just simply the cost of buying the land has been massive to essentially move the stadium, which is already in the central city in Phillipstown, about three or four blocks closer to the square. So I just don't think you can justify the huge cost that's attached to it when you have actually a location that has worked well historically and that you can still get vibrancy in the central city. But, I mean, fundamentally, we do run the risk, given the way in which professional sports is going in New Zealand, that you've got an increasing call on ratepayers in various cities across New Zealand to build bigger and bigger stadiums without any guarantee that the All Blacks will play, because we're then also asked, after we've spent the huge amount of capital, to put in huge bid incentive funds, and whoever gives the biggest bid incentive to New Zealand rugby ends up with the matches. So even if we build a big stadium, there is no guarantee that we will get those Tier 1 All Blacks games that people want.
So, Jani, are you saying you're being held to ransom by professional sport, in particular rugby, in New Zealand?
Well, I think especially in the COVID-19 environment, you'd have to say we face a very uncertain future. But you can see the financial struggles with rugby in Australia. You can see some of the discussions that have been had around in South Africa and the Tri Nations. I think fundamentally, a professional sports system in New Zealand that relies on councils and ratepayers continuously being asked to take out ever-increasing loans to build bigger stadiums and to pay the operational cost and subsidising extraordinary player salaries is a completely unsustainable model going forward. it actually needs a coordinated approach across the country, I believe, because it's simply not sustainable for us to continuously put in more and more money and to subsidise the global game of rugby.
So what kind of fees were you told that you might have to pay if you're only going with the smaller stadium?
Well, I think
to attract the games?
Yeah, I mean, that's the other concern, is that the fees would be significant.
Like what? Can you give us a figure?
I can't, sorry, that information was in the public excluded section of the meeting. But what I can say is that...
So over $1 million to get them there?
One of the really clear pieces of information that we have received is that even if you had a smaller size stadium, the incentive costs would be far less than the $130 million of building 5,000 extra seats. I mean, that was without question the key point that was taken from today's council meeting, is that spending $130 million on a bigger stadium for less money going into incentive bids was still a very not prudent investment.
Right. So basically, Yani, you're saying it's more cost effective to write New Zealand Rugby a cheque every time you want to attract a top tier game rather than build a bigger stadium, right?
So was really clear from the information that we were presented with. And you have to recognise that you might be lucky to get an All Blacks game if you can get one. You might get one every year if you're lucky, but more likely once every 2 years. And so when you look at the attendance to the events, for example, one of the concerns I've raised from the investment case from the start is the attendance figures that we've been given. To say 7,000 people on average attending NPC games, well, certainly that doesn't, I think, bear reality in terms of how many people have actually been showing up. And what you can see is you always tend to see with these big projects the overestimation of the benefits that accrue to justify the extraordinary costs attached.
OK, so people can fully understand your decision. Give us a ballpark for how much you were told that these fees may cost you if you were going to host a rugby game. More than $1 million?
I can't go into things that were discussed in the public exquisite section of the council meeting. But I think, you know, one thing I would welcome is the fact that council actually did discuss the substantive decision in public today. That has been something that I've been pushing for greater transparency around these sorts of decisions. Obviously, if there's commercial sensitive information, that's not able to be put out there into the public. But it is significant. That's the trade-off, right? You have a smaller stadium, then you have to pay more in incentive bids if you want to even attempt to get some of these bigger events.
So they're playing you off against each other. They are holding you to ransom.
Yep. It's going on across New Zealand. It's certainly been an emerging trend. And I think it speaks to the problem of the financial unsustainability of the professional sports model in New Zealand. But you've now seen, obviously, with the All Blacks, you know, looking at private equity coming in from overseas countries like the USA.
So what should happen then?
Well, in my view, but again, this wasn't the majority decision of council, I would have built the Lancaster Park back at Lancaster Park. And I think the other thing is you need a coordinated approach with central government. Clearly, there needs to be a national strategy around major events in New Zealand. We are a country of, you know, 5 million people, and to have every city competing against each other, again, it's just completely unsustainable in the long run.
So, Yani, I mean, this is happening. You're getting a smaller stadium, right? So that is the position you now find yourself in. So given that you're getting a smaller stadium, what do you want to happen around these games? Because you've just outlined a system that you say is unworkable, that different cities are being played off against each other, and it sounds like rugby is charging you big bucks to get a look in here. So what should happen?
Well, that's exactly what's happened.
So what should happen in the way that runs?
Well, in my view, if I had my way, I would absolutely expect a guarantee from New Zealand Rugby about a certain number of matches of certain tier games. I don't see any reason why New Zealand Rugby should not make a commitment to Christchurch. I mean, we have been through the most extraordinary decade of disaster and tragedy. We still have massive challenges to fix our earthquake-damaged infrastructure, like broken roads in the east, our three waters, and our social housing. The idea that ratepayers should be funding professional sports and gold-plating the central city at a time when we have got huge pressures on doing the basics is something that I find really challenging. So it would be nice to think that New Zealand Rugby would give a firm guarantee, and this was asked when we discussed the investment case originally in 2019, can you give us a guarantee of matches? And I think it would be the fair thing to do.
Really appreciate your time this evening. That is Christchurch City Councillor Jani Johansson.